"The only thing we have to fear is fear itself," said President Roosevelt many, many years ago, and we spoke about that often. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I get to read articles from many of my students, and in these articles they tell little vignettes of activities in their life. And they tell the problems that they're working on, they tell the worries that they have, they tell the anxiety they have, and they tell of these things, and that's not so bad. It's not so bad that they tell of these things, which is like hanging your dirty linen out for all the world to see. It's not so bad to do that, because when you hang your dirty linen out for all the world to see, then all the world says, "Oh, you got dirty linen, you know. Oh, you got a dirty problem. You got this. You got that." And that may well be, but you shouldn't make it all the world's knowledge. You should just work on it yourself and work it out. Well, one beautiful young lady wrote an article, a lovely story about a problem she had in her life. She went through this problem of fear. And what it was her boyfriend had fallen off a cliff. And she couldn't see him because it was so dark. And he fell down this cliff and went down and down and down. Plump. And she thought, "My goodness sakes, he's dead." And she ran everywhere to try to get help. But there was nobody. They were out in the wilderness area. They were out camping and trucking around, just having themselves a wonderful time. And he fell over the edge. And he was silent because apparently he got the wind knocked out of him. Maybe he was dead. Who knows what he was. But she is so worried. And she was so worried and so worried. And she said, "Are you there? Are you there? Are you, where are you? Where are you? Are you okay? Are you okay?" And she anguishly hollered down to him and saying, "Oh, I hope you're okay. Oh, I hope you're okay. Oh." And whatever his situation may be, he was down there. She heard the thump where he landed, wherever it was. And then she stood there, and daylight came. And her tears were just about cried out. She had almost none left to cry. She looked over the edge and she said, "Sweetheart, are you there? Are you okay?" No sound. Well, she looked around and she could see way off in the distance a little plume of smoke. And she thought, "Well, I better go over there and see what I can get some help." But first she had the intelligence to say, "Where am I? How am I ever going to find my way back to this particular spot on the edge of the cliff where he fell?" So she made a marker on the edge of the cliff, big pole stuck up in the air so she could see it from a distance and know exactly where it was. And then she started to go away. And she says, "Oh, I would give anything if he were okay. I would just give my life for his if he was okay. Oh, if I see him okay, he's okay. And her expectations started to come back that he was okay. First she killed him by worrying about him, thinking he was dead and thinking the worst for him. First she had no strength to believe anything, and then all of a sudden she started realizing, hey, maybe he'll be all right. Maybe he's all right. And she kept making these statements, and she started to walk away from the cliff when she heard, "Oh," and she thought, "Oh my goodness, what is that? Is that him?" And she looked over the edge of the cliff and couldn't say, "Are you okay, sweetheart?" "Oh, it's okay. You can talk." And he says, "Yeah, but oh boy, I got the wind knocked out of me." And she says, "Are you got any broken bones?" He says, I won't be able to tell you that for a while. I'm kind of numb. And she says, "Well, is there any way I can come down there? Any way I can help you?" And he says, "Yeah. Just go around the next hill, and then you'll see there's a cliff walking right straight down to where I am." And she says, "How do you know that?" He says, "I prayed about it, and I asked for a way out. And I was told that there was this way out in my prayer last night. And I prayed that I would be okay, that my body would be okay, that I'd be all right. So just go around the edge of the cliff there, and you'll see a ledge that's tilted downward. and it's big enough to walk on. And so she went around the cliff, and there was a ledge big enough to walk on, and she walked down to see where her boyfriend was. And she says, "Arnold, oh, I was so worried about you." He says, "Well, I'm glad you didn't worry too much, because I felt like I was going to lose my life a couple of times when nobody believed in me. You know, somehow I just didn't feel that the world cared or even thought I was going to live. And then I prayed that the divine in me knows the answer to how to get out of here, how to get out of this place." And she said to him, "But how could you have all that strength?" He said, "I was just one-pointed. I believed that I'd be okay. But the wind was knocked out of you there. You just, that's a long fall." He said, "Well, it wasn't as far as it was. I sort of bumped along." I got more bruises than I got bump. And so when I got down here, the last bump knocked the wind out of me. And I didn't know what my condition was. And she said, "Well, here's some of my water from my jug, you know. And here's a sandwich. Can you eat something?" "Wow, yes, I'm hungry as a bear." And so he ate the sandwich and drank. And then he said, "Well, let's see now." So he started stretching his legs and twisting his toes and moving his arms and wiggling his nose. And all of a sudden he figured out everything was still working, you know. He said, "I feel a little stiff, but really I'm not too bad. I got my clothes ripped up here a little bit because I got torn as coming down the hillside, and a little bloody here and there, but nothing broken, and, you know, nothing serious." And she said, "Well, can you stand up?" So he said, "Well, let's give her a try." So she had a walking stick with her that she'd brought down to check the edge of the walk before she stepped where she was going. And she gave that to him, and he climbed up on the walking stick and stood up straight. Ah, and he stretched, and his bones straightened out, and he straightened out, and he said, "Oh, that feels so much better." And he says, "Golly, I'm so glad you didn't lose faith that I would be okay last night. I'm so glad that you had the strength of one-pointedness to know that I'd be all right, that you never doubted that I would be all right, that you knew that I'd come through this right. I'm so helpful and thankful." He says, "Because that's sure what I felt for myself." And he said, "I really appreciate that, love." And she felt so guilty. She felt so so useless, worthless, that she didn't have the strength to believe in him under those circumstances, just because she couldn't see him, just because it did seem like a terrible drop, and it could well have been a terrible drop because the cliff did go on down beyond where he stopped. But she learned the realization that it's important to believe, that when you have doubt, when you fear, oftentimes the things you fear come upon you. And fortunately, there was a divine light within her that wouldn't let her doubt totally. That wouldn't let her believe that he could be killed, that her beloved could be killed. And they were just the dearest of friends. Well, interestingly enough, as much as they were the closest of friends, as much as they had marriage plans, they both decided not to get married. They both decided not to get married because she knew that she would be living with him all of her life, realizing that she doubted him one time. And that one time of doubt would make it very difficult for her to have the full trust that he always has in himself and in her and in everything. And they each found beautiful other people in their lives. But you see, when you have doubt, when you do not believe in yourself, when you do not believe in the principle, when you just don't believe, that's fear. Fear of the worst kind. And when you have fear, then be ready, because your fear is going to consume you. And just like it consumed Gina and Adrian, I mean, just like it consumed this young man and this young woman, you know. Very interesting. You have to be very careful of that. Know that. Live that. Realize that. Fear destroys. Love upholds, fulfills, and reveals itself in the fulfillment of whatever its desire is. Do that today, and you've got it made. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.